Now, changing the subject completely, you might remember a couple of weeks ago we were in Rothsay. Queen of the Inch, the necklace, part of the beads were made of Whitby jet. Well, here's a strained link for you. Whitby in Yorkshire, the locals there will also tell you that their town is the inspiration for Bram Stoker's Dracula. And to be scrupulously fair, part of the novel is actually set there. But I've come up the coast from Aberdeen to another village, Cruden Bay, that also lays claim to a share of the glory. And while it's still daylight, intend finding out why. It's a lovely wee place, this. I'm standing outside the Kilmarnock Arms Hotel, which is where Bram Stoker stayed when he actually visited this town. And it's where he first saw a place called Slane's Castle. I'm to meet up with landlord Jim Much and local resident and history enthusiast Jill Candley McWilliam.
When we bought the hotel 3.5 years ago, we inherited the old brochure from the previous owners, and in there was a claim that Bram Stoker had stayed here. We had no documentary evidence, and we were rather concerned that we might be actually publishing something which was untrue. However, when we did our own brochure, we repeated the claim that he'd stayed here. And lo and behold, 2 years ago, a relative, a previous owner of the hotel, actually donated the visitor's book, which stayed in the hotel since the early part of the 1890s. And in there is an entry for the 2nd to 29th of August, 1894, by Bram Stoker.
Here you go. Bram Stoker, Noel Stoker and Vaughan. Who was Noel Stoker? Do we know?
Son, must be.
Son, maybe. Brother. Second visit to Port Erroll. Delighted with everything. Hope to come again to the Kilmarnock Arms.
Yes. Port Erroll was the name of Cruden Bay before it was renamed Cruden Bay. Right. And 2 years later, he did return in 1896, as we can see here. Uh-huh. But I haven't got the exact dates in which he stayed, and there was two other members of the Stoker family there as well.
Yeah. What brought him here? Why, I mean, Jill, why was a Irish theatre manager coming to this part of the North East?
I think he came upon Cruden Bay by accident. He was on a walking tour around the Scottish coast, and he led a very, very hectic life in London. He was manager of the Lyceum Theatre in London. He was also, he was a budding writer of his day, and he wanted to succeed as a writer. And he was looking for somewhere to put his pen to paper, somewhere where he could be away from it all and just lose himself.
It's a very dramatic section of coastline, this. I mean, paint me a picture. What would he have seen here that would have fired off his imagination, specifically in relation to Dracula?
It's the dramatic coastline, it's the shape of the cliffs, it's the squeal of the seagulls, it's the crash of the waves that come out upon the shore, it's the forever changing weather. One minute it could be dull and dreary and very darkening scene, and the next minute the sunlight will come through. It's just intriguing, and I think that that's what he experienced first of all. And I think his love of walking, I thought, brought him along the coastline and along the cliff tops. And that's when he really began to discover what this area was all about.
Certainly, as you come down nowadays, you know, from if you come up from the south, you come over the head of the hill there, and Slane's Castle, the ruins of Slane Castle, is just lying directly in front of you, Jim. And it is very dramatic. Delighted to have seen the visitor's book here, Jim. From here, what's the best way of actually getting to the castle?
Straight down to the car park, through the old village of Port Erroll, to the church, and then up to the woods. It's about a 12-minute walk.
Okay, right. Well, we'll go for it. Listen, folks, thank you very much. Nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've made it all the way out to the coastline now, and it's a fine, fine, breezy day. Grey-blue sea out there, and we're just on the headland, and perched, literally, on the cliff top is the ruins of Slane Castle. And the roofs of it, I mean, it is a sad relic of what it once was, because this was a truly stunning location once upon a time. Here now with Marna Cruikshank, whose family, I think, used to work in here a long time ago.
Yes, my great-grandfather was the gardener to the Earl of Erroll, and then later he was ground officer, and he farmed the farm of Parthhead, just a couple of miles along the road. It would have been owned by the Earl of Erroll.
Yeah. And Gordon Mackay's come up with us too, and you've got a distinct interest in this. You organise the Cruden Bay website, amongst other things, and this gets a lot of interest.
Yeah. Well, it does, actually. And as you said there, it's a sad relic of what it once was, but it still seems to have a great pulling power. For tourists from all over the world.
How long has this thing been here? I mean, when was there a castle first built on this site?
There was a hunting lodge called Bowness on the site, And the Earl of Errol had his castle at Slains, which was near Colliston. It was blown up in 1594 on the orders of King James VI, because the Earl was involved in some plot. He was exiled to France, and he didn't return until 1664. His castle was a ruin in Slains, and so what he did was he built up the building here. And I think of that building, the tower, is the only part that is left. Mm-hmm. And then, in the 1830s, the present building was extended.
Very impressive from the outside. Let's go and have a shifty in the inside and see what it actually looks like.
Now, we're just walking underneath a corridor which would have been... directly above us would have been the main dining room.
Yeah, we're kind of in the servants' quarters at the moment.
That's exactly where we're at. Yeah. Go round this way.
We'll go round this way because there's quite a lot of stinging nettles there.
And watch your head going through here.
Right.
Watch out for the bats.
The bats. I had temporarily forgotten about Bram Stoker.
But well, he'll be here somewhere.
He'll be around somewhere, the spirit of Bram Stoker.
Another winding staircase there. And as we move into this area here,
you get some sense of what it was actually like. This is the frontage that just looks literally straight out over the cliffs. 10 feet away in front of us, it starts to fall away. And maybe, 70 feet below us, there's the sea.
That's it.
Isn't that magnificent?
It is. I believe that one Earl of Errol said that the King of Norway was his nearest neighbour.
What is your gut instinct here, the pair of you? I mean, we take this back to Bram Stoker and Slane's castle. Not as it is now, as a ruin, but could this have inspired him? Could this have assisted in the formulation of Dracula?
Well, I personally feel sure it would have done. You know, there are some postcards and old photographs of the building. It was only in 1928, remember, that it was still a fully functional building. And certainly the pictures taken from the seaward side that we're looking at now, over the top of the rocks to the cliff edge and the castle just rising straight from the cliff edge, I mean, it just looks exactly like the movie Transylvanian Castle that Dracula lived in. So, I've no doubts this was the inspiration.
Marla?
I think so. I think it's not so much the building itself, which was not grand compared to some other big houses. It's the situation of it, the location, perched on the edge of the cliff. And when he had walked up the main avenue and come up on this and seen it just on the edge, I think it's a very dramatic setting. And of course he was invited up to meet the Earl of Errol and his countess, because they were living here at the time. So he would have seen the views from here, he would have seen the location as he walked up. Yes, I can see it, yes.
Such a wonderfully elemental location here. Huge, huge acreage of sky. And the sea just bouncing off the rocks down below, and the gulls and the terns, and low sun just shining over the ruins of Slane's castle. And despite the fact it is a ruin, and it must have been a truly stunning building in its day, it's still providing inspiration for local people. This is from a local folk band, Brattach Manor, and they wrote this song about the castle itself and recorded it here. My thanks to Gordon and to Marna for showing me around. Beautiful place. Until next week, from me, Mark Stephen, this has been Past Lives. Thanks very much for listening.